Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Trajan Wealth and Tropical Smoothie Cafe. It is time to chat with Texas Rangers manager Skip Schumacher. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing well. Now, I thought about something that you said just a few weeks ago. Like, when the team was struggling, you think about it, you don't sleep, you obsess over it. Do you give yourself the same credit when you guys are winning? Do you take a minute to enjoy that, or do you just go back to obsessing over how can we continue the winning streak?
Yeah, I obsess over continuing to, you know, extend this winning streak. I don't take credit. I mean, that's the last thing I do. The players are winning the games. You're just trying to help them, you know, get to a position where they continue to feel good about where they're at and empower your coaches to continue coaching. And our coaches have done a really good job, especially with all these injuries that have happened. You know, we've made 17 moves on this road trip. So we've had a lot of roster decisions and influx, but they've done an excellent job of you know, keeping these guys' minds right and continuing trying to win the day and not get too high or too low.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect example of that was yesterday after the game. Josh Jung in the interview is like, just keep going. And I was like, that sounds like a mantra that Skip would have for everybody, Kevin, with the just keep sure. Going forward, keep trying to win this thing.
Is one of those 17 moves, or is it going to have to be move number 18? Is Corey Seager going to the injured list?
Yeah, Corey's going on the IL. Josh Smith will be activated today. Unfortunately, this morning, Corey just did not feel good and did not recover from yesterday. And so we had to put him back on the IL. And I will tell you that the frustration with Corey when talking, you know, with him in the office was as high as it's been. We got to figure it out for him and for us, quite honestly. So he'll go back to Dallas after today, you know, with us and see multiple doctors and see exactly what we're dealing with.
On the us part of it, meaning the Rangers, I don't doubt that Corey Seager is tough. I don't doubt that he wants to be out here. But does the club reach a point then maybe for this season where you can't really make plans with him in them going forward?
Well, I don't want to go down that road yet. You know, it's going to be tough to replace a Corey Seager. So I don't know how long it's going to be. In the meantime, we have to, you know, figure out with, you know, Duran and Lopez and, you know, some of the guys that have been called up you're not going to fill a Corey Seager void, right, with one guy. And that's what I think I'm most proud of, the way this team is performing, is we're collectively filling the void. And I think that's the main thing and the main message in that clubhouse and, you know, see where we're at. But, you know, we want to get Corey healthy. We're better with Corey and Wyatt and Nimmo out there. There's no doubt about it. But in the meantime, you know, these guys have really, really stepped up.
You know, Skip, I'm sure that every manager would just love to be like, I'm rolling this lineup out every single day. And all of us want that kind of lifestyle, right, where everything's just kind of, you know, easy to
right.
go. But do you think that, like, adaptability is one of the most key things for you?
No doubt. You know, all I want is a relentless competitive effort from each guy. And then you can teach the skill after the effort. And what these guys are doing is, you know, from our coaching staff they're really defining, you know, who they are as a player and figuring out, you know, their skill set. And it's been fun to manage. A lot of these guys are now, you know, kind of forced in and thrusted into an everyday role. So, you know, being able to, you know, mix and match and, you know, we have a lot of speed now on our team and, you know, different ways to win games. Defensive versatility has been, you know, amazing as far as, you know, the qualities, and we can move Duran around. Duran has been ridiculous. Foscue has been, you know, gosh, if you told me he was going to have 1,100 or 1,200 OPS in July against lefties, I would have said you're crazy. I'm glad you're saying I'm crazy right now because I'm taking every one of those hits. But it's just been, I think the farm system and the, you know, Bonifay and Kenny Holmberg and these guys that have developed, these guys that are ready to help us win right now at the major league level, has been super important. And our front office getting a Diaz and Lopez to fill in has been huge as well. So, you know, there's been a lot of positives that's been happening with a lot of these, you know, our superstars getting hurt and filling those spots, you know, until these guys come back.
I had a question about teaching, but then you brought up speed, and we've seen the speed and how impactful that is. Can you explain how different it is when you have dudes that can do what they're doing right now?
Yeah, you know, I really believe the game is trending. You know, with all these new rules and the pickoffs and stolen bases and bigger bases and everything else, I do feel like there is a new wave of a player that's going to really impact the game on the bases with their speed and run prevention. You know, I think I've talked about it many times that run prevention is a big deal to keep us in the game. That's why Evan Carter's so valuable in center field. He runs down everything and keeps us in the game. Cam Cawley running the bases like he did yesterday was like 11 seconds from home to third. All these guys put pressure on the defense and allows us, you know, maybe to get better pitches to hit because pitchers are running or you know, throwing it quicker to the plate or whatever it is. But what speed does, it helps your slug, right? So if you walk, all of a sudden you can steal the next base, and all of a sudden that looks like a double. It has run prevention. There's a lot of factors that speed, you know, helps out with. And then, you know, the guys that have speed in our lineup are also putting the ball in play. I value putting the ball in play. And then when you put the ball in play with guys that can run, it changes the dynamic of, you know, what the defense has to do. And so I just think that, you know, a lot of really good teams right now, if you look up and see the teams that are, you know, leading divisions, you know, they believe they are, you know, preventing runs with speed, and they're really hard to defend because they have speed.
Now, you mentioned Evan Carter. He said that he knows he's more than a defensive first outfielder. I know he believes that, and he has to, but do you truly believe that as well?
Listen, you have to have this crazy belief, this alter ego almost as a major league player, right? Like, you have to believe that you're almost something you're not. I've said this before, when you step on that field, and he has to believe that he's an everyday guy, righties, lefties, you know, whatever it is. I think he can say that because he's done it. I mean, you guys don't win a World Series without him hitting, right? I mean, he has proven it on the biggest stage. Now, there's an adjustment period, and the big leagues do adjust to you. How fast can you adjust to it? And he's, you know, he also was hurt in his development because of injury, and so he's figuring out the league right now. He's still a young player. There's still a lot of work to do, but I absolutely think he's going to be an everyday player as far as, you know, center fielder and a really good hitter for a long time in the league.
Now, speaking of another young player that y'all have in the outfield that I absolutely love, Alejandro Osuna. How have any of those discussions gone about, hey, man, I know you're hustling and giving your all, but we got to tighten up some of these base running issues?
Yeah, I mean, Osuna is also a young player, right? And there's going to be some give and take as far as the aggressiveness, how aggressive you are, and then when you're running into some outs, you know, there's always teaching moments for these young players. The minor leagues are much different than the major leagues, and I think, you know, as much as you want to develop at the minor league level, the game is a little faster up here, and so sometimes you have to, you know, teach these kids on, you know, the good and the bad and what we did right, what we did wrong, and so we don't make the same mistake twice. So Osuna is a good player. He's a tough player. He sticks his nose in against tough left-handed matchups. Every time I give him the opportunity and provides some sort of spark, it feels like every day. So I believe in Osuna just like I believe in Carter. And it's up to us as a staff to continue teaching these guys the right way to play and help us win games.
Well, and Skip, you've talked a lot this year with us about learning moments and these teaching moments. Do you take time to point out when maybe your opponent does something? And I don't know, maybe throws the ball up into the stands when they shouldn't have.
Yeah, listen, I'll take the run all day long. I don't care how you give it to me. I will take the run. First and foremost, I feel really bad for that kid. I mean, he's going to be a good player for a long time. He's a really good hitter. It was a tough day. Tough day for him, tough day for, you know, watching it. My guess is everybody on that field, including us, will make sure after we catch a ball from now on to make sure that it's three outs, because, you know, that's a tough, you never want to go through that. And I do feel for the kid, no doubt about it. I'm glad I got the run.
Yeah. Is a Jock Peterson heater something you acknowledge in the clubhouse, or is it like a no hitter and you just don't talk about it?
The Jock Peterson heater, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know. Isn't it crazy what this game does? I mean, the first couple weeks of the season, Jock was frustrated. I know others were frustrated. And then all of a sudden, you look up, he's leading off and one of the best leadoff hitters in major leagues right now.
Yeah.
Hitting home run after home run, getting on base, clutch, timely hits as well. I mean, yesterday, backdoor curveball, opposite field. I mean, how many times have you seen that, against a really good that starting pitcher? The answer is hardly ever. Mm-hmm. And he did it to tie the game up, which really helped us, obviously down two runs, which we haven't been great at, right? Getting down in the first, and then it's like, what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, a couple innings later, we're tied up, and DeGrom goes 17 straight without giving up a run or a hit or whatever, anything. And then you look up, and now we're in the lead. So Jock has provided enormous amounts of offense when we desperately needed it, and he's one of the big reasons, why we are where we are. But I think, what gets lost in all this, quite honestly, hitting coaches get crushed when we don't hit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, crushed.
I've heard that.
Jock, yeah. But, look up right now, and Durant's having a nice year, and JJ's having a nice year, and Jock's having a nice year, and there's some guys that have really had some nice comeback rebound years. And now we have a long way to go, but there should be some credit given to some of our hitting guys.
And Skip, last thing I have for you is, I know Canada's trying to really screw things up and not get our guys into the All-Star game, but Jacob Lats has been fantastic. Can you take us into the batter's box and tell us why Jacob Lats is so effective?
I don't know what I'd be looking for if I was sitting in the batter's box. That's the challenge. You have an elite riding carry fastball through the zone at 96, sometimes 97 miles an hour. He throws a curveball for a strike that he can land at any time. He has a wipeout slider, and then he'll throw the changeup 0-0, 0-1, 2-1 behind counts. Heads up, right? Like, yeah. What do you look for? What do you sit on? Most elite closers have their two-pitch mix, or our high-leverage relievers are two-pitch mix. You know what you're going to get, so you can ambush one of them and just sit on. You have four pitches from our closer. It's really challenging to sit on one or the other. And I say closer now. I have been hesitant to say that. But, last night I had him up in the eighth inning just in case Peyton Gray, ran into some trouble. We were just going to get out of that inning and close somebody else. That's how much.
Sorry, Skip, you're cutting up just a little bit.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I'm on the field walking here at Progressive Stadium. But my point was...
Go ahead. Really sorry, good. Skip. Sorry, it's breaking up on us. I know you guys got the game to get to. Thank you very much for the time. There you go.
Hey, guys. Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. We're an hour and 7 minutes now from the pregame as they are in Cleveland and take on the Guardians. Every Monday at this time, it's the Chris Young Show, but his right-hand man is filling in for CY today, so we're looking forward to chatting with the Rangers GM here in just a second. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And the Chris Young Show is brought to you by our friends at Medical City Healthcare and Lexus. Visit your local Dallas-Fort Worth Lexus dealership today. Here he is in his 17th overall season with the Texas Rangers. It's GM Ross Fenstermaker with you here on The Fan. And good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you all?
Oh, we're doing great, thanks, especially after a weekend like that. What's it mean to scratch your guys way back into first place here this point in the season?
Yeah, awesome weekend up there in Toronto, obviously with the sweep there, getting ourselves back into first place. Won those games in a lot of different ways. We had some close ones, some great team wins up there. Good to see the entire roster contributing in a lot of different ways and putting us in a good spot as we got a tough test ahead of us here in Cleveland the next few days as well.
Yeah, it's always on to the next thing. And I guess before we get there, do you have an update on how Brandon Nimmo's face is doing after that big final out last night?
I think his face is doing well. He banged his shoulder pretty good against that wall there, so he's getting that looked at today. We're going to give him a day, try to reassess where he's at here. But, yeah, big catch there to secure the sweep. Great play by him. He's a little bit sore today, but I think he'll trade that for a nice series sweep.
Looks like it's been a pretty busy day for you guys with one of our favorites from Surprise, Cam Cauley, coming up. What are you guys hoping to get from him?
Yeah, we've had a couple roster moves today, but excited about Cam. He's put himself in a great spot there with his performance in AAA. Offers us quite a bit here, the ability to play multiple positions. He can play second base today, but he can play second, short, center field, left field, third base. Adds a speed element to our roster as well. He's hit left-handed pitching really well. So excited for him to make his major league debut and contribute to this roster.
Chris Paddock, the other move that you mentioned there, Ross, you made a couple with Jared Kelnick designated for assignment. Joe Ross gets DFA'd as well. But Chris Paddock, veteran pitcher, you needed another arm. What are you hoping to get from him?
Yeah, Chris is going to be the bulk arm today. He's built up to about 80, 85 pitches. Obviously, Tyler Alexander starting the game here. So we've been in the midst of a pretty heavy stretch with a lot of games in a row here. Our bullpen, our arms have stepped up. We needed a fresh arm, and Chris has been built up and obviously an established strike thrower in this league and somebody we feel can help us absorb some innings and keep us in the ballgame.
It's GM Ross Fenstermaker here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Are you the guy, or do you like being the guy that gets to call these guys and tell them they're coming up to the big leagues? How's that process go when you're getting to bring a guy up like Cauley?
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't make the call. I allow our farm director, Josh Bonifay, to do that. It's a little agreement that we have since he's the one that usually releases the players. I also let him deliver the good news to the players when they're getting the call up. So I usually follow up with a quick call afterwards or a text, or if they're coming to Arlington, I know I'm going to see them. I usually pop downstairs and welcome them, but it's pretty special. Obviously, I got some roots in player development the last several years. So a lot of these players from the draft, throughout the entirety of the system, when they finally arrive, it's a pretty special moment for myself. And I know what it means to our entire player development operation as well, and the scouting group as well, who brought those guys into the organization to begin with. So always a great moment whenever a homegrown player makes a major league debut for you.
Hey, Ross, so what do you make about what's going on in the American League and as well in the National League with the disparity of the teams playing, the Rangers, of course, playing like at a 500 level, scratching their way back into this thing. But when you're evaluating the leagues, how do you make sense of really what's going on in both leagues right now?
I'm not sure we can make sense of it. What I do know is that it's an opportunity for us, and it's created a way in which at 500 we get back to first place in the division. I think there's a lot of parity in the American League. I think we're all pretty closely bunched at this point, and presents us with an opportunity to continue to compete. And I do believe, we believe that our best baseball still remains ahead of us. We've played quite well over the last month, and obviously the sweep there in Toronto, but we got to continue it up. Continue playing at a high level, and if we do, I think the league has afforded us an opportunity to consider October if things go well for us down the stretch.
You mentioned, okay, that's exciting. You mentioned the last month, 17-11. Do you think that's representative of what this team really is?
I think it's more on par with the team that we thought we ultimately built at the outset of the season. Guys kind of coming into their own. We've had to do it a lot of different ways. We haven't, unfortunately, been afforded the opportunity to play at full strength for most of the year, and we got pretty close to it before recent injury news to Wyatt Langford. But feel really good about the group of guys that we have, the circumstances that we've been dealt, and the way that we've been playing. So hopefully the boys can keep it up.
Yeah, it's tough because you've never really had your full team together, right? It's like, here's EC, he's back in the lineup, boom, Wyatt goes down. Same thing with Corey. So what is the timeline for Wyatt, but also how do you balance the evaluation of your club since you haven't really been able to see them at full strength?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, we're looking at the All-Star break, right after the All-Star break for Wyatt, getting back to full strength, and hopefully, we continue to play well in the interim and hold serve here, but it's just part of the game. Injuries are part of the game. We've had quite a few of them this year. That being said, I think it speaks volumes to the resilience of the team that we have. the competitors that we have and the opportunities that have presented themselves for some other players to step up, and they've performed in those opportunities and put us in a position to continue to compete down the stretch.
With how tight the standings are across the league, like, does it make it more challenging to forecast which teams might be wanting to sell at the deadline?
Well, I think so. I mean, I we're going to continue to have those calls, field those calls, see why myself, a few of others in our exec group, as we get closer to the deadline, and feel out what teams are ultimately thinking about doing. But, you know, I think right now it's still a little bit early for that. We're mostly just focused on playing our best baseball and doing whatever we can to continue to put ourselves in a position where we can make those calls and make those calls more on the buy side of things. But we've got to continue to play good baseball and position ourselves for that. So I'm looking forward to Cleveland and seeing where this goes.
Hey, Ross, CY was kind of talking about you guys have had to kind of float some schedules and stuff and where you're meeting when it comes to the draft and stuff. How have things been for that? You always talk about the injury challenges and things you've had to deal with, but how the meetings for getting ready for the draft and stuff been progressing for you guys?
Oh, they've been great. I mean, our amateur group, Kip Fagg, Josh Boyd, the entire group, they do such a tremendous job of preparing us. I was listening this morning. I've listened in on a lot of calls. We're in such a good spot. Really excited for this draft. It seems like it's a very deep group. We pick at 16, so excited about the opportunities that we're going to have there. I will say that we're about to turn the page here to July, which is by far the busiest month on the baseball operations schedule between the draft, the trade deadline. So there's a lot of things for us to balance on top of the day-to-day with the major league team and some of the injuries and the pitching situations that we've had to deal with. But, we're excited for this next month. It's a fun time to work in baseball operations.
With that being said, Ross, and you mentioned all the things that you have to do, is that broken up into, like, do you have specific guys handling certain things for you, or is it a collective group kind of working through all the things that you just mentioned?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit of both. I mean, we have specific directors or assistant general managers that are overseeing certain areas of the operation and ultimately feeding that information to us. But we have a pretty small executive team and we collaborate on almost every decision. Ultimately, that comes to CY and myself to kind of make the final calls on these things. And we have such a great working relationship that we're 99% of the time we're on the same page with these things. So. But we have, it's a collective group in terms of how we drive that and ultimately manage what is a very, very busy time of the calendar year.
Rangers GM Ross Fenstermaker with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What's the latest on Jordan Montgomery and Cody Bradford?
Yeah, Monty's doing good. He's going to go back out for another rehab outing. Should be built up to 3 innings later this week. I believe that's Thursday or Friday of this week. And Cody is also doing well. He's going to be throwing live VPs this week, and we're going to continue building him up. It's probably looking like post-All-Star break, he'll be back in a rehab outing out of an affiliate, but he's doing well in his progression back.
As we hit the midway point of the season, what do you think about the job Skip Schumacher's done overall? What stood out to you about his first half of the season?
I think he's done a great job so far. Obviously, as we're talking about different adversities that we've had to overcome as a team with some of the injuries and get to know the guys and establishing a style of play, I think it's starting to take form. I can say, my working relationship with him, the communication has been exceptional. We're very aligned in everything that we ultimately want to accomplish on the field collectively as an organization. I think he's done a great job so far of involving a lot of different constituents in the decision-making process and leading the group, and I'm excited to see what continues to transpire here this season.
What was here in radio, I love it when you get an intern to, like, big shot type of story, right? And two of our co-hosts here, Wolchuk and Schiafalo, started with us as interns like 10 years ago. You started as a Rangers intern, right, like in 2010. What's it take in baseball to be on that journey and to make it to the top as you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a heck of a ride. I'm so incredibly blessed. This organization has treated me so well. I think my goal always has been to just dominate the job that I'm in. Whatever that is, whatever this organization needs. I've done almost everything within this organization. They've blessed me with a lot of different opportunities, and the most recent one is that of general manager. And my focus is, like those times in the past, dominating the current role that I'm in is to the best of my ability. So, obviously there's
some vision that you have for your long-term future. When you get in, you don't know how that's going to play out, but I think you focus on being where your feet are and doing the very best you can to dominate the job. The rest takes care of itself.
History for Tyler Alexander tonight. First guy ever to start a game after closing the previous two nights. What do you think is in store tonight for Tyler as he gets to make MLB history?
Pretty unique, huh?
Yeah.
Local Southlake kid being able to be in the record books is closing multiple games and then starting. So it's three in a row for him. You would say I think it was 10 and 15 pitches, those games that he closed out. So, you know, I think they were a little bit lower stress in terms of pitch count, but obviously finishing games in Toronto is high stress. So Tyler's a pro. He's been unbelievable. His versatility, the ability to close games, open games, pitch mid-leverage pockets versus lefties throughout the season. Great job by our scouting group to find somebody who fits in multiple ways and multiple roles on this club. So excited to see him go into record books tonight.
Well, thanks for giving us your time. Congratulations on all of your success, Ross, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There he goes, Ross Fenstermaker, brought to you by Medical City Healthcare and by Lexus. Visit your local Dallas-Fort Worth Lexus dealership today.
Two-two pitch hit off the end of the bat, out into left. Cruising to his right is Engel. He's under it, and he makes the one-hand grab to get Osuna for the second out. And now, Duran heading to third. What do we have here?
Did he throw the ball? And I think the throw was errant, and it went out of play.
Oh, no, he thought it was the final out.
Oh, my goodness.
And he tossed the ball up into the seats. He made the catch. I wrote down F7 in my book. I looked up, and they're awarding Zeke home plate.
You're an idiot, and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about Bobby and Jared costing me sleep even after
zero.
A six-game winning streak?
That's a zero.
All on the road as well. Good morning, Metroplex. You're home for Rangers baseball, an unreal ending. You thought that the wild pitch two-base episode in Toronto was crazy. How about that? That blows the wild pitch away with what happened yesterday that gives the Rangers the second win over Cleveland. They'll go for game three today, afternoon baseball on this station with an 11:30 pregame. First pitch at noon, Kevin Hagelin in studio for our final hour on a special hump day.
Hump day? I'm trying to look. So I'm trying to see which one of the psychopath tendencies you're checking off right now by trying to blame me for your mistake of riling Sandler up.
Yeah, it's not really Bobby's fault. Jacob DeGrom, rough first inning again. Yes, it's just a given. He's going to give up the home run. Then he was locked down. He caught fire, setting down 17 straight at one point. You get the solo insurance. Somehow Josh Jung hit that out. Jacob Latz, all-star money again with his 11th save of the month. But some moves surrounding this baseball team. First place in the American League West, Chris Paddock. Thank you. See you later. Designated for assignment. And a weird Corey Seager benching.
Scratch.
Scratch from the lineup that he tried to play in.
Yeah, he last night, it was his turn to come up to bat early in the game. And it's not Corey Seager, it's Cam Colley walking out there. And they go, oh, this is, even on the broadcast, they're like, okay, well, I guess Corey Seager's not out here for some reason. And then Evan Grant tweeted, and a bunch of people tweeted, and oh my goodness, there's something going on with Corey Seager because he's not in the lineup, but nobody had heard about this. So then they started digging around, and they get the word that it is a tight back. He was unable to loosen his back up, and because of that, he ended up having to sit. And the floodgates opened of criticism for Corey Seager, for the Rangers, and for people who were saying there were too many FanDuel parlays on Corey Seager. He got the call, and he's walking away. You had the betting psychos on there, too. But this was
But you took to Twitter. You decided to lash out a little bit last night.
I did.
Were you drinking anything?
No, I didn't drink anything yesterday.
Okay.
That's not cool, guys.
No, I had gone on, and this is something that we brought up last week, I think, the idea of potentially trading him.
Yeah.
But I had said, because it was another thing, and
I think everyone was pretty much down for exploring.
Yes. And I saw the reactions on Twitter last night, and I quote tweeted the Evan Grant news, and I said, how old were you the first time you wanted to trade Corey Seager? And that's the thing. I think just a lot of people, I understand that people say, you're not going to be able to, so stop talking about it. Fine. Like, that's still wrong, though, to act like he's not a problem right now. But the ones who have just gone into, like, you're talking about a war hero. Like, you're saying that this war hero just needs to go and die or something. Like, they're acting like that's what you're saying when you just say, you need to move on from Corey Seager probably at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's never going to be that guy again. I would imagine this is the floor. Like, this is as bad as he can play or somewhere near it. So I'm sure he'll have times where he's better than this. I don't think he's a consistently over 800 OPS guy anymore. He's probably closer to, like, when he's healthy, maybe a 780, 790 guy or something like that is the ceiling. But I said, Corey Seager, keep him or trade him. 872 votes, 50.6% of people said trade, 31% said keep, and 18.5% said I'm watching the World Cup.
All right, so 50 to 30.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was going to be more than 50%.
Again, 18% also voted I'm watching the World Cup, yeah, which I think is more still. But, like, in the people who took part in it, that means that a significant portion of them were saying over keeping him. And the fan text this morning has, I'd bet, been 80-20 to trade him.
So Sandler last night at around 7 p.m. tweeted the following. Corey Seager has played through multiple tears and breaks during his Rangers tenure, especially during critical moments like the entire 23 postseason when it hurt to even swing. You see that he's out or getting a day off or scratch, but you don't see the stuff he does play through or the hours of work he spends to try and do so. I get people want to see him in the lineup, but the idea he's not tough or doesn't care is absurd. And I started going back and forth with Jared over text yesterday. And my final solution was just going to be, let's battle it out on the air. I've never had a real true fight with Jared, and certainly not on the show. He usually reserves that for Dawson. But I was like, you know what? Let's just take off the gloves and let's do it. And let's just have it out. But I didn't commit to that because I wanted to talk without him being able to respond first. So what I was trying to say to Jared is, and Jared has texted me at some points in times like, man, Corey's battling through something. He's going through something. I look at things first and foremost from the fan perspective. In my opinion, reading the text, hearing the text, no one's more interactive on Twitter than I am. Facebook, Instagram. I feel like fans are getting sick of Corey Seager. And one of Corey's issues, in my view, I don't think Corey cares at all. Corey does a terrible job of public relations. A horrible job. He doesn't give any engaging interviews. No one really knows his personality. He comes across as a robot. He doesn't really smile out there a ton. A lot of Ranger fans will point to him and say, oh, he's not smiling for their success. They'll single him out. He's not celebrating off a walk-off. He does his own thing that we've heard about. He's supposed to be a team leader. He's making all the money. He doesn't participate in batting practice. How often does Choppy send us on the group text? Corey's not out there. I'm sure he's not out there for batting practice with the rest of the guys. He's doing his own solo thing. Those are the public perceptions right now. So when Jared says, I'm telling you behind the scenes, he's played through multiple tears and breaks. His teammates like him. You know, it's not this Marcus Semien type story that's out there. You don't see the stuff behind the scenes. Okay, well, like, it is what it is. If Corey Seager doesn't want to leak it or have Jared or other Ranger reporters put it out there, how he's dealing with this but playing through it, and he wants to keep it quiet, hey, I have a respect for that because you don't want to look like a complainer and a bitcher and a moaner. But when the fans see you missing games and you're not playing well and we move farther away from the World Series, they're going to get tired of it. And that is what is happening right now. There's a segment of the Ranger fan base that thinks that Corey doesn't really care much about being here. And Jared lighting up my phone and lighting up Twitter and telling you that he does, to me, that can only go so far because we never see it. We never hear it from Corey Seager himself. And I don't think he gets covered a lot because I just don't think we're that type of media when it comes to the Rangers and baseball. Does this make sense as to what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, he would.
And what I tell Jared is, like, we're fighting this battle back and forth, but when I'm talking to other sports with Jared, and he'll give a hardcore strong opinion towards a football player in Green Bay or a basketball player the Mavs are thinking about, and he'll throw out, that's good, informed, hardcore fan opinion. I'm like, well, you don't know what that player's going through in the locker room and the clubhouse, just like you're telling me. We don't really know all the trials and tribulations of Corey Seager, so I'm trying to represent how the fan base is viewing and treating him, how we are, because we don't hear a lot of this inside info that Jared talks about. And if Corey doesn't want to correct it, then he's got to deal with it. And he may not give a rat's ass about dealing with it because he may not pay attention to any of this and he doesn't care to correct it.
I'm trying to think. It's similar, I guess.
I'm scared to look at my cell phone.
It's similar, I guess, to Amari in that... Amari
Cooper?
Yeah, Amari was not a super dynamic personality. Some people would take what he said and the way he would speak about things as being flippant or uninterested or whatever else. And a lot of people just tell you, like, that's just kind of his personality, and he's super thoughtful about things, and he's very, like, binary, like, 0-1-1-1. Like, that's the type of personality that he is. But he loves the game, and he's just super, like, you know, perfectionist about it.
Yeah.
But then people would see him up there and he'd just go, I don't know. I guess I just got to, you know, score or something. And people would just be like, do you care?
Yeah.
And so I think it is. I think he's
one of the battles I had with Jared was like, we do this nitpicky thing with how much do we want to get on you for being injury prone? Right. We've talked about this with KNC sometimes, like how much is you checking out or how much is your body failing you? And right now, I think all Ranger fans care about is that Corey Seager's always hurt, and a lot of times he's unavailable, and we're sick of it. And I appreciate Jared for giving the nuance, and, well, this has actually happened, and you don't know this, you don't know that. Well, we're reacting towards what we have in front of us, what we have to go off of. And Corey Seager, I don't really care, to be truthful, whether his body's failing him or it's a want-to thing. The bottom line is, are you playing or are you not? And if you're not playing enough, then we should talk about and think about moving on.
I never once thought Sean Lee was soft.
Right.
But I also thought Sean Lee was hurt all the time and they needed to find somebody else.
And no matter how fragile.
Great
he
was, yeah, and no matter how great Sean Lee was. And Sean Lee, not only that, Sean Lee was very, like, personable and always took accountability. And, like, so even a guy who up front doesn't give you anything to dislike with his personality when he's up there talking.
Yeah.
We still got tired of, all right, dude, you got to go. Because, like, it is a little bit of a cliche, but the whole best ability is availability.
Yeah.
It is true, though. You got to be there to play.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, I don't care that you hit some home runs 3 years ago on a World Series run. It was awesome.
Yep.
But just like with the Dolies, all right, but it's time. So it's run its course.
And, Corey, this is, you don't have to do it. But Corey doesn't do himself any favors publicly, like with the fan base or to the media, to be like, man, I know that guy. I know Jason Witten's grinding it out. I know that Jason Witten is finding a backup spleen doctor. I know that he's, you know, and that's where Jerry can maybe do them some favors sometimes by coming on here twice a week because he's telling us their issues and their hangups of what they have to overcome. Whereas, you know, we don't cover the Rangers like that. And, you know, I think Chris Young does some very nice interviews along with Skip here on the station. But I don't think Corey cares about what the image is.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think it's anything that's high up his priority list. Now, is he somebody who, when he's hurt and he feels like people are saying, you don't give a damn, like, will he just internally kind of go, like, probably in a private moment, I'm hurt, like, screw you.
Yeah.
Like you don't know what I'm dealing with. Some guys get that. Leighton Vander Esch used to get that way. Leighton Vander Esch didn't like talking to the media. Leighton Vander Esch would be hurt a lot, and he would have just instead shut down and go like, I'm not even going to tell you what I'm dealing with, but I'm dealing with stuff.
All right, my phone has nothing but bubbles, so that means Jared is typing. Sandman, if you want to take over and call in for the first first half of next segment, you can. And we're also going to update what is happening with NBA free agency, and we got to have the LeBron discussion that you're probably going to roll your eyes over, but based upon his criteria of what he wants next, I think we do have to have it. Kawhi traded, LeBron leaving. We update you on all of it and maybe a surprise appearance from the Sandman after this.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105 through the Fan. It's time now for the Rangers Player Show. And we're excited to talk with this man. Made his debut last night in exciting fashion. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. The Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Yeah, he tripled and scored the go-ahead run last night in the seventh, his first big league hit and first run. Played second base for the Rangers last night. It's Cam Cauley here with you on the Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
How's it going? Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. It's so much fun right now watching you guys play. Now, what's these last couple of days been like for you, though?
Just grateful. I mean, really can't put it into words. Just super grateful and blessed to be here. And with these group of guys here, I mean, they welcomed me from the moment I walked in and have treated me like a rookie. But also, I can tell that they're doing it with love. And, I mean, the group of guys here are amazing.
What's the rookie treatment like?
Nothing serious yet. I mean, I got a little beer shower yesterday, had a whole bunch of stuff in my hair and on the body, but just like the small remarks they make, just kind of just mess with me, but I know it's all good things, and they treat me well.
Was that your first beer shower?
Yeah, I think I was a part of one in AAA because we had a position player closed out a game for us, and it was first save, so I guess we were just said, let's do it, let's have some fun. So we just made him wear a whole bunch of beer and mustard and ketchup. So that was the first time I was the victim of it, though.
Well, Cam, you're one of our favorites, man. We got to catch up with you a little bit during spring training in the clubhouse, and I know yesterday in the post game you were talking about some of the adjustments you made before you ended up hitting that triple. Overall, from the start to the end of the game, what was your experience like in your first major league debut?
Yeah, I mean, I just really tried to take it all in. That's what Skip told me. I mean, Rags, Jenko, the players, they all were like, just take it in and have fun. You only do it once. So I really was just taking it in. And then as the game went on, it was like, man, screw that. I want to win this game. like, screw the debut. I'm trying to win. I didn't realize it was nationally televised either until, like, I saw ESPN signs. I don't remember who I asked. I was like, hey, are we on, like, ESPN? They were like, yeah. I was like, oh, snap. I gotta do something cool here. I got the triple, scored, and then once we took the lead, I was like, hell yeah. And then later on, Foss with clutch hits, Berger clutch hits, Jung. I mean, it was a full team win. And, I mean, Lats and Junis and Paddock, Alexander, they all came in and shoved. So it was a good win.
Well, speaking of ESPN, how nice is it to do an interview right now where you can actually hear the host and the host can hear you after your SportsCenter debut last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier doing it like this. I would say that for sure.
Man, those hosts were losing it on the set. They had no idea how to handle it. I felt bad for you, but you were doing your thing. They were drowning in studio. It was hilarious to watch, but it was amazing to watch you play last night. And even throughout the spring, like, you were the star of surprise when we were out there, and it was so great to catch up with you and then watch you perform. But what was the mindset like? Because you have all this excitement going on during spring training and then going back to Round Rock at this point. Sort of balancing the disappointment of not making the team, but also understanding, like, man, you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, you got to stay where your feet are at. I mean, I think that's what it boils down to. I mean, I can't look too far ahead and can't look in the past. Just show up to Round Rock every day, and I mean, that's my team. I'm trying to win with them. I'm trying to fight with my teammates there. I know everybody knows what the end goal is, but I can't look too far ahead. So I knew if I did everything right and just stayed the course and do what I know I need to do, I knew that the dream would come true at some point, and I'm just blessed that it happened now and with this group of guys.
It's your Texas Rangers Cam Collie here in the G-Bag Nation. You've been a very malleable player, kind of being able to play wherever they've asked you to play, Cam. Did they kind of tell you maybe what the plan was with you getting called up? Do you have a certain position you're going to be staying at, or are you going to be expecting to move around a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you that. I mean, if I had to guess from my point, I'd say that anywhere they need me, that's where they're going to put me, and that's what I'm ready for. I mean, wherever the team needs me to go, if it's the pinch run in the ninth, then I'm going to do it. If it's to come in and bunt, I'm going to do it. It's whatever the team needs to win. I mean, I'm not here for anything else but to help this team make it to the playoffs and beyond that. So that's the goal. And wherever it's done, if I need to catch a game, I'll go and catch.
Let's go.
Hey, Cam, when you had the triple, off the bat, did you know you had a triple, or was it like, hell with it, I'm just going to keep running until somebody stops me? Because when you got to second, it's like you hadn't picked up anybody. You were just like, you were motoring for third.
Yeah. So out of the box, I knew I had two for sure. And then after I touched first, I did a little peek, and I noticed the right fielder kind of was like fumbling with the ball. And then I just my instinct said if he's fumbling the ball, I think with my speed I can beat it, because they're going to have to make a perfect relay throw to the second baseman and a perfect one to third. And I kind of just betted on myself to be safe. And I knew in that point of the game, tie ball game in the seventh, me being on third with one out, I think the aggressiveness on that part is the smart thing to do. So I just kind of trust myself and just couldn't really feel my legs running. I was just say, get to third and be safe.
Did you have family make it up for the game?
Yes, my wife was here, and my mom and dad were here, and so was my agent. My brother is he has to do work down at home, and my other brother just had a newborn, so they're kind of stuck there for now.
Were they baseball players too?
Yes, they're probably watching. They probably had a little house party or something back home, and they're probably just making holes in the wall or something, going crazy when I hit it. So I bet they have a video of it. I'll see it soon, but I bet they were just going nuts back at home.
Hey, Cam, who's got the ball? I know they handed it to you. You know, you get it after the game like that. Who's got the ball? Was that one you put in a special spot and at the hotel? You just kind of holding it and just kind of saying, damn, here we are, kind of a thing?
Yeah. It's actually at my locker. I haven't taken it anywhere. I'm going to wait till I get home, and then I'll figure out who I give it to. But most likely it's going to be the parents, or I'll keep it. It's whatever my mind's thinking at the time. It'll probably be just like a, I'll do that type of decision.
Well, you got a big decision. I saw the other day where we had a guy, A.J. Brzezinski, gave a ball to the Pope, you know, like a ball that won the World Series. You know, like finished out a World Series. So you got a big decision there. If you want to give it to the Pope, I'm sure he'll take it.
Yeah.
How about that?
If I ever get to meet him, then I might give him more than just a ball. So, I mean, he
there
might
you
be
go.
Life
go.
Savings or something.
Cam, what did you do yesterday that maybe you're going to do today? I mean, like the superstition, since you were so successful and the team wins, do you carry any of that over into today?
I used to be really superstitious, and then once I got the Pro Bowl, I realized they kind of don't matter, because no matter what, you're going to fail. So, like, I think superstitions get you in your head, and then you start overthinking things. But I will say I have wore the same tights every game. They do wash them, but that's my little thing.
Except the hair, though, right? Like, you're not going to – you told us you're not cutting the hair. You'll never play ball with short hair again.
Yeah, I mean – if I do get a cut, it will be like a nice little fade or something on the sides, but I always got to keep the flow. It helps me feel a little swaggy out there.
It's Cam Collie with you here on The Fan. Okay, you don't seem like a guy who the pressure bothers much, because you're just so busy having fun. Am I right about that? Because I was going to ask you, like, how important is it to immediately have success getting called up to the big leagues? How much are you feeling pressure?
I don't think – pressure is really the thing. I mean, I feel like you have pressure everywhere you're at. I mean, you want to succeed everywhere you're at. The only thing that changed was maybe the stadium was a little bit bigger and there's more fans, but I always say before the game in my prayer, it's like, this is a kid's game. Just go have fun. I mean, the guys are older, they're more experienced, but it's a kid's game. I mean, we're all the same once we step between those lines. So just go have fun. And I just try to not fear anything and just play free. I mean, if I go out there, I play hard, play fearless, and the results don't go my way, I can go home that night and sleep well because it's like I did everything I could. It's just when you go out there and you start second-guessing yourself and you're passive and you're thinking about what you messed up on, that's what will keep you up at night and keep those slumps in the slumps instead of just like saying, screw it, man. Just go out there and compete. Go have fun. It's, I mean, it's a kid's game that I get to play on this stage. I mean, I'm just grateful for it and just go out there and just live it up.
You're 29 for 29 on stolen bags. What's the most stolen bases you've ever had in a game?
In a game? I really don't know. I mean, I would probably say four maybe three or four if I had to guess.
I love it. All right. How much is that is just because you're so damn fast, and then how much of that is like an art and a skill being able to make that happen?
I think speed definitely helps. Like, I'm not going to lie and say, oh, if you're slow, you can get bags. And you can, but there also is an art of you have to pick the counts you go. You have to know the pitcher. You have to know the time to home. You have to know the pop time, this like scenario, the situation. Like, there's a lot of things that go into it that if you are out, it's okay to be out in that situation because there's certain parts where you get thrown out. I mean, like last night in the top of the ninth, if I'm at second, I try to steal there. I mean, that's a stupid, in my opinion, that's a dumb situation to steal in because you got the leadoff up. We have our hitters coming up, and I like our matchup. So it's like I'm going to trust the hitter here, and I'm going to trust my speed to score. So I think the speed helps, but there's also a little bit more that goes into it just so if you do get out or you are safe, it's the right situation to go.
Does Skip know that he can trust you on that?
Hopefully, if you listen to this, I mean, I'm not going to.
Sounds like you got a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah, if he's listening right now, maybe he'll give me some freedom. But, I mean, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I'll tell you that much.
Love it.
That's a great attitude. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about being All-State honorable mention at wide receiver at Barbers High School your junior year. You're a pretty good football player, too.
I was decent. I mean, I was just. I remember my dad, because baseball was always my thing. My dad was like, hey, just get down. Like, so I would get hit a little bit, but it was I was trying to juke everybody out and score and not get hit hard because I knew in a month or two I had baseball season coming up, and that's what I was looking forward to.
So did you play all 4 years of football,
I played my first 3 years, and then COVID happened that junior year, and going into the summer, I never really did any showcase or anything growing up, and we decided to go to one because, I mean, that was the only thing we had to do, and I had a couple, like, scouts reach out and a couple things, like, my agent reached out or at the time my advisor, and I was like, oh, snap, like, maybe this is a thing, and then just thinking about it, it was like, I would love to play, but I think for my future and in the long haul, I think it was the best thing I did was not to play that year, and I really got the whole year to train, and because my whole life I've never just been a baseball player. I've always been an athlete is what I like to say. I played every sport. Like, I wouldn't pick up a bat until January of the year, and the season started in February in high school. So, like, I never really was a full-time baseball player. And I think taking that fall off from football and focusing on baseball really helped and perplexed my career.
I bet the soccer coaches were after you.
That's probably the one sport I've never played, but I think I could be. I've been watching the FIFA. I feel like I can be pretty good. I don't even know the rules or nothing, but I feel like I can just run and get the ball and kick it.
Yeah, with the speed. Hey, what's the process like when you get called up? Like, when did you find out? Sometimes they post that on the social media with the team, which I think is pretty cool, but for you, who called you? I mean, what was the information process like for that?
Yeah, so we were in Tacoma on Saturday, and I had two at-bats, and I got pulled from the game, and I was just like, what the hell? Like, I'm not hurt. I didn't do nothing wrong. Like, what's going on? And then my manager in AAA was like, hey, we got a call. Like, we'll let you know. And I said, all right. In the back of my mind, I'm like, you didn't tell me anything, dude. I don't know what's going on. And then after the game's over, I go up to an office. I'm like, hey, you got anything? He said, he kind of gave me the rundown, like, hey, there's a chance you get the call, but we won't know until tomorrow. So you're going to come in Sunday, you'll have the off day, get your work in, and then after the game, we'll find out what's going on. So I'm like, all right, sweet. Go back to the hotel with my roommate, Jonah Bride, and we're just chilling. And I have the alarm set for 9 or 10 because the bus is at 10:30 at the time. So I'm like, all right, just go in, get my work on, my work done. And my farm director calls my phone, but I, like, the ringer just never went off. And I was like, and he called at 6 a.m. our time, which, I mean, as an adult, I should be able to answer, but I'm gonna take the leeway. I'm sorry, Bonifay. I was sleeping. Because the whole time I was ready to go in on Sunday and get my work in and just figure out after the game what's going on. And then the hotel phone rings. I don't even pick it up. My roommate Jonah does, and I'm like half asleep, like a zombie. I'm like clueless what's going on. And he's like, "Hey, this is for you. I think it's Bonifay." And I'm like half awake. And he's like showing me the phone, and I'm like, what is he holding? And I could tell it's the hotel phone. So I answer, and Bonnie's like, hey, Cam, like, you're flying out to Cleveland tomorrow. Or you're flying out to Cleveland in 3 hours. And I mean, I've never woken up that fast in my life. Like, I was out of that bed quick, packing. I went and got a coffee. I was waiting for the Uber. That's how early I was. And then I got here, and then the flights were a mess too. I mean, I got on the flight from Seattle to Chicago. We had a layover before I made it to Cleveland. So I get to on the flight to Chicago, and they say, we're having to divert your plane to Milwaukee because of weather. Oh, wow. So me looking at the phone, I'm looking, I don't even see any weather. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then when we land in Milwaukee, I'm like, let's see how far Chicago is. It's like a 15-minute flight. I'm like, come on, we couldn't just fly straight into Chicago. So we sit on the runway for like 2 hours trying to get fuel. We get it. So I end up missing my connecting flight from Chicago to Cleveland. And all three of my checked bags with my baseball gear and all my stuff is still in Milwaukee.
Oh, no.
So then the travel guy for the Rangers gets me a flight with United. And by the time I get there, I miss the check-in because you have to do it 30 minutes prior. So I'm walking up to the gate. I'm like, hey, can I get on this flight, please? And they're like, oh, you didn't check in. I was like, no, ma'am, please. I didn't tell them what was going on. I was just like, ma'am, please, I have to get on this flight. I cannot miss this. And they ended up getting me a seat. I made it on the flight. And then once I landed, I was like, all right, I made it. And then I said, oh, snap, I don't have anything. I don't have my clothes. I don't have my baseball gear. I have nothing. So I'm panicking. And then I get a text from Simpson, our travel guy, at like 8:30. He said, I have something for you. And he walks into the hotel with all my stuff. And that's when I like fully got relieved. I was like, okay, now I can just worry about playing.
What a roller coaster.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Man.
So did you pull the, no, seriously, I'm a Texas Ranger and I'm going to debut tomorrow. I need to get on this plane. Yeah, is that no. How you got on? No?
No, I don't like to be like flaunted or anything. So like I didn't want any reason to draw attraction to me. So I was just trying to keep it low key, but like, if you looked at my face and my eyes, you could tell, like, hey, man, please get me on this flight.
Well, congrats. Incredible. We all won last night thanks to Cam Colley's debut, man. Terrific job. Thanks for the conversation and the background on you, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
There he goes.
We love you.
You're the best, bro.
We might be in love with you.
Cam Colley with you here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
That's awesome.
And now I can see why you guys liked him so much when you met him in spring training.
Cool cat, man.
Brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. We're coming back with the top 10 and the G-Bag of the Day champ. Well, Chuck, where are you taking that top 10 today, buddy?
All right, Wheel. It is National Social Media Day. So I've got the top 10 social media sites that people cannot live without. 877-881-1053. What's the one that you could not punt on? That's next in the Nation.
Yeah.
And a swing here and a line drive. Base hit into right field. That one's headed into the corner. Watson all the way over to pick it up in foul ground. Cauley's at second. He's headed to third. The ball finally out of the corner. Cauley dives into third with a triple well ahead of the relay throw. Cam Cauley's first big league hit is an opposite field triple that sets the Rangers up nicely here in the seventh.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about speed? Kind of trying to make a drug joke. Bottom nine. Of the lineup, speed.
Nine.
Oh, a nine.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Because you actually thought about it.
Yes, I did think about it.
Chop never thinks about it.
Choppy, we'll be back on Thursday. This is Sean and Bobby on your home of Texas Rangers. On your home of the first place Texas Rangers, up a half a game on Seattle after five in a row and a 6-3 win in Cleveland on the Fan.
It's a good run they're on right now. The biggest thing for them right now is they're coming up big late in games. That was one of their problems. They had a historically awful stretch for them with runners in scoring position there for about 3 weeks. They were hitting something like 109. Like, it felt impossible for them to be as bad as they were with runners in scoring position. And right now, it's been timely. It's two out hits. It's late game heroics. It's, you know, the right button being pushed here or there by Skip Schumacher. That's why it's really tough to think of baseball in even series increments. Because when you're talking about 162 games and the NFL, for instance, plays 17, 10 games. 10 game stretches are the equivalent to one Cowboys game. And so that's how you got to kind of think of it, as like this 10 game period right here, that's 1 week. 10 game period here, that's another week. And so if you break it up into those sections, you realize how much more important it is not to get lost in the ebbs and flows either way, and instead look at kind of the macro of what they're doing. And right now it's good.
I think I'll have the similar to reaction to any type of athleticism on the Cowboys defense this year, where I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen this. I haven't tasted this in a while. But when Cauley and Lopez were flying around the bases, I was like, oh, what? It was unrecognizable to watch speed and athleticism out there on the base pass.
That's what a Schumacher, when he got here and he talked in his opening press conference, that was one of the big things that he talked about was important to him, was just speed on the base paths and taking extra bases and being aggressive in their running style.
And he becomes the first Ranger, Sandler with some notes, since Hanser Alberto to pick up a triple as his first major league hit.
Hanser Alberto was not a good baseball player.
That's for him. Foscue, my guy, Mr. Swag right now. I'm president of the Foscue Fan Club for this week. He ends it after it looked like, you know, the Rangers, were they going to let Cleveland back into it? You had a nice defensive play in left. Osuna also is a guy.
Yeah.
And Bassick said this last, I think it was 2 weeks ago. He's like, man, this guy can just hit. And he had a base hit yesterday to right, where that ball was like sawing his hands off. And that's just a guy who knows how to freaking swing a bat.
I'm looking. There was a point earlier this year where I think he had four hits that were to the pole side of second base all year or something. Like, it's insane. I mean, you can look at it right here on his, it's more than four now, but look at the spray chart. This is where his hits have landed this year. There's barely anything pole side. It's all straight up the middle or hit opposite way. He battles.
His slugging is .281.
Yeah, he battles and will get you a single.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. He's gonna Tony Gwynn or Wade Boggs it up. But you'll accept getting on base. That's what matters.
And then, of course, the great Jacob Latz with another 4-plus out save. Getting it done, two innings. The ERA is a 1.76. The whip is a .63. The batting average against is .122. The on-base percentage is .174. The slugging is .230. And the OPS is .405.
That whip is just so impossibly good. .63. That means he is... So whip, for those of you that don't know, it's walks and hits per inning pitched. That means he's 0.6 walks or hits per. That means most of the time he's going out there, and he's doing these in two, like, inning increments. Most of the time he's going out there, and he's not putting anyone on base when he goes out there to pitch. And he has been really, and it's interesting to watch him because I don't see him and think,
no,
like, oh my gosh, here comes Billy Wagner.
Lights out.
Or here comes Trevor Hoffman.
No.
And yet that's what the numbers say he's doing right now, is that it's a little bit like the way before he got to Texas and after Texas, I guess, Koji Uehara, where you remember Uehara was not like a
traded
super,
from our boy Mike Adams.
He was not a super like dominant kind of like heat thrower or anything like that. He was just, people would talk about his delivery and the way he would conceal it. It was really hard to pick up the ball off his hand. There's something about Lats, I think, that must be really difficult for guys to pick him up.
Diamond Cavs, in your home for Rangers baseball, their 800 win percentage, 8-2 against left-handed starters since May 19th, the highest in baseball. Their OPS against left-handed starters during that stretch is the highest in baseball. And their 3.3 runs per game against left-handed starters during that stretch, second most in baseball. All courtesy of the Sandman. So there it is. They get game one, first place. Thank God Brett Boone's not on tomorrow, because he would have come on here and said, told you so. You guys wanted to sell. You guys wanted to bury CY. 5 o'clock pregame, 5:40 first pitch today with DeGrom on the mound with a 3.55 ERA. So the game was at 5:40, not 6, right?
No, it's 6 yesterday. It's 5:40 today.
Okay, because I was like, Peyton, I know that game lasted longer. That game felt like it took forever. Maybe it's just because I was watching.
What was the game time on it?
6 hours of soccer before.
I think technically, first pitch was like 6:10 their time. So I think it was like 2:45 was the game time. But yeah,
2:43.
Yeah,
it was 2:43.
That's it.
Yep. Now, okay. I mean,
something's wrong with my body clock.
Also, I mean, it's the fact that there were 9 pitchers in the game, probably too. Just that slowed things down. But no, they are right now, the position that they're in and the type of games that they're playing and the way that they're coming through. I think Sandler had the note yesterday, and I'm hoping he didn't just read it and I missed it. The 9 straight games now where they've scored first, which is the longest streak they've had in 30 years, basically. And that was a key for them early on. They were not scoring first. They were falling down big in some of these games. And then games were over in the first or second inning because they couldn't score after that.
Sean McFarland had some more notes. 32-10 when they score first in games. Did they score first yesterday?
Yes.
All right, so they're 33-10 now when they score first.
Which means they're 10-32 in the other games.
They've seen, on average, just 16 pitches in the first inning of games this year, and the fourth fewest total league-wide. They'd force an opponent's starter to throw. They have forced one to throw more than 27 pitches in only 6 games this season prior to the Blue Jays series. And then we know what they did early on against Toronto in that sweep. So late, early, all working.
They're creeping their way up now. They are 15th. They're dead in the middle in Major League Baseball in batting average now. And they'd been down near the bottom for a lot of the year. They were 13th. They're 13th now in on-base percentage. The slugging is still behind a little bit. We know they go through these stretches sometimes with power outages, so they're at 20th now. But that's better than where they were a lot of last year and where they were at earlier this season, which was bottom 5.
And is it Ken Rosenthal that may know something or just had a crystal ball for this winning streak?
So Ken Rosenthal is a guy who I always think of as being generally pretty aware of things that are happening in Texas and knowing what's happening with things. And so I guess he either knows something we don't and understands he's secure no matter what, or he's forgotten about Texas and they're not there, because he was talking about MLB front office leaders are facing more pressure than, like, the MLB front office leaders that are facing more pressure as the lockout potentially looms. Because once the lockout happens, that's going to shift the way teams choose to fire or hire different people. But he named 8 different front office executives. He named more than a quarter of the league of executives that he said are facing a ton of pressure down the stretch. And he names David Stearns from the Mets, Buster Posey from the Giants, Craig Breslow from the Red Sox. He throws out, San Diego, A.J. Preller. And out of those 8 that he named, he did not include Chris Young in there, which there's been... I feel like there's pressure on Chris Young right now. But, when we heard Brett Boone last week say, Chris kind of, if he goes in there and lobbies for something, he generally wins. And he'll get Ray Davis to agree to it. it may be a situation where Ray Davis just trusts him, and whatever frustrations may exist for the fan base about moves or some struggles that they've had at times over the last 3 years don't resonate the same way with Ray Davis. Because Ken Rosenthal writing this, listing off a bunch of different executives that are just facing pressure, not even on the hot seat, but like, hey, there's pressure for you to perform here. He doesn't even have Chris Young on the list there. And I don't think that's forgetting about Texas. I think that's Ken Rosenthal probably feeling like Chris Young is fairly secure right now with ownership.
Yeah. I mean, that I do put weight in that. And I think that we are going to see, I don't know if we're going to see a switch, but I think we will. On the fan text, if you took a poll question, what do you want them to do? I think we're going over 70% by at some point in time very, very soon here.
Yeah, in fact, let us know right now. You can text in right now and just say buy or sell. Just simple buy or sell reply for the Rangers where you want them to be right now. And that'll give us some context as to where things are at. It is nice, though, lately on the Rangers front when we talk about now that they've lost Langford for as long as they have with him out to the All-Star break. It is good that lately, and I know he went 0-for-4 yesterday, but it looked like Zeke Duran had finally kind of rallied a little bit. Because I think over the course of the last 20 games before the series they just had where they swept Toronto, I think he had been hitting like 110 over the course of 20 games. It had been really, really bad for him. And then he ends up collecting, I think it was 5 hits in the series against Toronto after he had had 5 hits in the previous like 20 games before that. So Zeke Duran hopefully has cleaned some things up a little bit because they need guys to be more consistent while while Wyatt Langford's out.
More Rangers baseball early evening right here.
Overwhelmingly buy on the fan text right
see?
Now.
See?
Yeah.
We switched in 48 hours.
Yep. I'd say it's probably 80, 90% buy right now.
Diamond Cavs on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. We got another KC Donahue ticket giveaway in the 9 o'clock hour. Look at the guns being showed off here from Alec Medford.
Oh, yeah. It's Tank Top Tuesday. I saw him teasing the fan tank top.
Rolling in with the tats, the guns, and everything.
Come on, ladies. Go for it.
He might be taken.
I don't know. Corey keeps saying he is the mom slayer of Mansfield or something.
The mom slayer.
That's what he calls him. Basically.
Alec, are you taken?
No.
He said
no. All right. There it is. A date off. Do this at Will Chambers Gathering. Have the ladies show up for Aiden and Alec.
Yeah. Right there
for Wednesday night.
There we go. And Aiden's going to have to wear his own shirt that he made so that he has the street cred.
Speaking of Wednesday night, a World Cup update in place of Choppy. And who's gotten swept up in the Texas Sahara dust storm? Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.